You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I wrote some things down here. The Proclamation of Thanksgiving was October 3rd, 1789, by George Washington, father of our nation, first president. He declared, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of God, or of Almighty God, to obey His will, and to be grateful for His benefits and humbly to implore His protection and His favor." So this really was a time of year when we are thankful for everything that God does. We should do that every day. And I think this is a great time to remind us of that. But Thanksgiving originally was for thanking God for this nation, thanking God for this country. I personally thank God for this nation. I thank God for the United States of America and all that it stands for, and all that many people for, you know, hundreds of years have lived and fought and died and shed blood and to make it happen, to give us this freedoms that we have in this country. To stand here and preach to you is an awesome freedom. They don't have that all over the world. To stand here and preach whatever I believe the Bible says to preach, are you with me, without government intervention. There's moves in government to try to make churches apolitical, in other words, non-political at all. Would that be impossible? Because most politics have to do morality and have to do with biblical issues. Are you with me? And that's something I'll never stop preaching. I'll never stop preaching the Word of God, never stop preaching out on what I believe sin is, with love for the sinner and hope for the sinner. Amen? We never preach hate. We don't preach hate. But the government does not dictate what I preach. In fact, I thank God today, this time of year, Thanksgiving, that we live in a country where I can preach what the Word of God says to preach, where you can stand up and say Merry Christmas whenever you want to, and you can pray whenever you want to. Hallelujah, somebody. And don't be silent and don't back up. You know, I think of even the issue of prayer in schools, you know, how that's been taken out. You know, if we had stood up in the midst of all that, if everybody took their Bible to school and everybody stood up and prayed, what are they going to do, lock up millions of kids all around the world? No, I mean, they would have seen how untenable that would be to even enforce that. I mean, they want to enforce that, and they want to enforce border protection. They want to see, it's like picking and choosing what laws we want to enforce. It seems that laws against Christianity are the ones that liberals want to enforce in our nation. And we need to be, as Christians, be loud. Are you with me? In love, and stand up, and be counted. And, vocally, thank God, praise God for what He's done for us and how He's given us this great nation. Hallelujah. I mean, I thank God for this country. Amen? Amen. Thank God I live here. This is where I live. This is where my kids live. This is where my grandchildren live. I'm going to be on my knees praying and believing God. I'm not giving this country up to anybody. We're going to hold on to the things that have made us what we are. We're going to dance with the one what brung us, as we say in Texas. So we ought to be grateful. Amen? Amen. Thank God for our military. Thank God for wherever they are all around the world, and soldiers and men and women that have, you know, defended the rights and of this country. Thank God for our Constitution.
Amen.
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 That this country is based on a belief, a strong faith in God when you think about it. Hallelujah. That's what we're about. Anyway, thankfulness. Man, there's so many ways I could go with this. Turn to Acts 16. We'll get there in a minute. When I think of thankfulness, the good thing about thankfulness is it causes you to think on the good. I know that if you're a news junkie, you can get real depressed in times like these because there's such turmoil going on in our government and such opposition, such disagreement, you know, everybody's throwing their chest out and trying to talk about how much power they got, and everybody's doing it. I mean, they're all doing it. I'm not just talking about one person in particular. Everybody just talking about what they're going to do to the other guy and how they're going to like what they don't like what he does, and he doesn't like what they do, and I'm going to do this whether you help me or whether you don't help me. Well, we'll see about that. And before long, everybody's just fighting, you know. And there are some lines you do cross. I think there is. We do have a Constitution. You're not supposed to cross that. But if all you do is just watch the news all the time, you tend to get bitter. And I watch the news, and I'm very politically aware of what's going on in our country. I'm aware of, you know, who's who and who's what and what they believe and so on and so forth. I have some definite views and definite ideas and definite opinions, as it were, where this country should be going and what we should be doing. I don't like the direction it's going. but I'm not giving up on it. Are you with me? Because my eyes are on God. My eyes are on the Bible. My eyes are on his promises. And I have great hope. I'm facing the future with hope, courage, and faith. Hallelujah. I believe God can turn anything around. I believe God doesn't give up on us. I believe God hears me when I pray. Hears you when you pray. Amen. I believe I count. And I believe his blessing is on me. Hallelujah. And the blessing of the Lord makes me rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. And the young lions may lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack or want for any good thing. I believe the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I believe he supplies my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I have no fear of what I hear on the news. Because I heard another story. I heard another report. Amen. I've heard the report of the Lord. And he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. Hallelujah. Said he's with me even to the ends of the earth. So I need to keep my nose and my face in the book. I'll hear the news and I watch it, you know, but, you know, I know how to turn it off, too. Got that. After you heard it one time, you've already heard it for a week, all right? It's just repeated over and over all day long for a whole week. Then you can turn on next week for about an hour and figure out what's going on all around the world. And then it just keeps repeating itself, you know, it's just kind of can. But you and I have much to be thankful for. You and I are Christians. You and I are believers in Jesus Christ. You and I have the hope of heaven inside of us. Hallelujah. You and I have the supplier of every need. You and I have the great shepherd, the great protector, the great provider, the great healer, the great physician. He abides within us. Hallelujah. And wherever we go, he goes. We hadn't been alone a day in our life since the day we got saved. Praise God. No matter how bad it looks, no matter what bad report we hear, no matter when you get to the hospital and they say you've got to have all this money, God can still work something out. Amen? Amen. Even the little things that we fret over and so on and so forth. We ought to look up to heaven and be thankful. Thankfulness draws you to the positive in life. It draws you to the good in life. And the good is God. And the good is his word. And the good is his promises. If you are a thankful person, if you're a grateful person, you're going to be a positive person because it forces you to think on something good somebody has done. If I'm going to thank you, I've got to think of you in terms of what you've done good for me. That causes me to see you in a different light. It causes me to appreciate what you've done, and it also gets me in a position to receive from you in the future in the sense that I see the benefit of you in my life. But if we're constantly criticizing each other and thinking about the bad things everybody's done, all we see is bad in others. And you know what? We set ourselves up not to receive in the future. We can't see any good because we're not looking for any good. We hadn't thanked God for the good already that's been done. And so we're not in position to receive any more good down the road. In fact, we just can't receive anything from the person because we cannot get past the person. You ever been there? Amen. Minister gets up, you don't like the way he wears his hair? Hello. Or maybe he has a little twitch or, you know, a little something. He does something a little funny when he preaches. You go, I don't like that. And you don't listen to it. You don't receive from him because you're not, all you can see is that thing that's wrong. Are you with me? Sometimes we're not in a position to receive. So thanksgiving actually does more than acknowledges the good that others have done for us, but it puts us in a much better position to receive good in life. Thankful people are happier people. Amen. Thankful people live longer. Hallelujah. Critical people, just it eats you up like a... You ever just get so mad at the TV you want to just jump in there and choke everybody on there? Now, are you kidding me? You think that's good for you? Because that can't be good for you. You got to double up with your blood pressure medicine. I mean, all these ailments start increasing and gets worse and worse because you're mad. Y'all remember, who was that? Oh, I'm mad, 280 bumper stickers. Y'all remember those 30 years ago? He was mad at the government and he was mad at this. I actually heard him speak one time in Austin, Texas. I was down there preaching and I went to a Rotary Club meeting because I was a Rotarian for years. In fact, I was president of Rotary Club one year here in Wills Point. But anyway, I went down there and heard him and he got up. And of course, now Austin, it is just full of politicians, as you can well imagine, and lawyers. And so the Austin Rotary Club was just filled with lawyers and politicians. And Eddie, you know, he was not, just stay with me, I'm just telling you what he said. He was not a Democrat, okay, to say the least. But he got up and he was just smiling. He said, you know, He said, I'm mad about this, and I'm mad about that. He said, but I don't want you to think that I just hate you Democrats. I mean, standing up there saying this, and I'm thinking, wow, I mean, there are half of them probably or more were Democrats. And he said, I believe God's got a special place for you. I'm just not going there, thank God. I'm thinking, okay, Eddie, you go. So, you know, if you're not thankful, you just don't see any good in anybody, no future for anybody. So you got to be thankful for what people do for you. Amen? Being thankful. I wrote the word thanks out in an acronym, THANKS. And just real quickly, I go over that and we'll get to Acts 16. T, think about others. That's what it forces you to do. In fact, if you're thankful, you're not thinking about yourself other than what someone's done for you. Yeah. Amen? You're not thinking about how good you are. You're thinking about how good somebody else is.
That's right.
You're not thinking about what you can do. You're thinking about what someone else did for you. So that changes your perspective. It changes your attitude. It absolutely, your paradigm in life is shifted from me to I need you. I need you. I need you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank teachers. Thank soldiers. Thank this God for this country. Amen. You know, I remember one time Bert and I were in a DFW going, I don't know where, we're going somewhere. And it was a lower level. We were on one level of this terminal we were in. And then there was another level where people were unloading. They were coming off that level, but it was all inside. It was all enclosed. And over the intercom, there was just hundreds of people all waiting on all kinds of planes in these terminals, you know. And over the intercom, it came, our soldiers are now coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I don't remember, and coming off a plane right now. And you could see them starting to come off the plane onto the second level because it was open, and you could see that level. And everybody stood up. Started clapping. And it was just a moving moment for me. I thought, yeah, that's the way it ought to be.
Yes.
We ought to be grateful and thankful. And it was just like a wave, and nobody was sitting down. I mean, once someone started, everybody started getting up, and you could see them coming off with their duffel bags, you know, and they're still camoed out, you know, in their military garb, and they were just walking along, looking over, and, you know, kind of waving, a little embarrassed, you know, about it, and everybody was just till the last one came off. Now, see, that's thankfulness. I thought at that moment, everybody was thinking about what good these people had done for us, what these soldiers represented and the freedoms in this country. At that one time, there were no Democrats, there were no Republicans, there were no liberals, there were no conservatives. We were just grateful for what these men and women were doing for us. It's a unifying thing, thankfulness is. It forces us to think of others, and that's a good thing. Amen. You know, the first thing you got to get over in life is yourself. We got over you a long time ago. You might as well get over yourself. And then once you do that, you can really be yourself, because there's only one you, and there's nobody else but you. When you think about it, I can't be anybody else. I have to be me. Everybody else is already taken. Amen. But I got to get over myself and realize I'm part of a whole. A lot of people involved here. Think of others. H, honor others and humble ourselves. You know, that's what Thanksgiving does and thankfulness does. It causes us to give honor where honor's due. And it causes us to humble ourselves. I'm humbled by what people have done for me. I'm humbled by this church. I'm humbled by my children sometimes in helping me. It's an humbling thing. You know, pride goes for destruction. The haughty spirit goes for a fall. And truth is, there are really three levels of maturity in life. First is total dependence. That's when you're a baby and you need your parents for everything. And then there's the second stage, I think, is independence. That's when you're 16. And you don't need anybody. But then when you get a little older, you get in the third stage, which is called interdependence. You realize you do need people, and people need you. And we all need each other. That's an humbling experience, but it's still the truth. You know, there's this old man. They asked him one time. He was just about to die. He's living old age. Might be somebody like Rufus, 102. You know, my goodness, if we could live to be 102. But they asked this old man, they said, if you could live your life over, what would you do differently? And he says, oh, I know exactly what I'd do. And they said, what? He said, I'd get some help. because we try to do everything ourselves without help. We don't acknowledge others in our lives. We don't acknowledge the fact that we wouldn't be here because of those other people. And it's really an humbling experience. We all stand on the shoulders of giants. You know, I hear a lot about me, you know, being positive and preaching and teaching and quoting scripture. And I hear that a lot about that gift on me. I understand that gift is given to me. I understand that I didn't make that gift. God gave me that gift. But I also understand that I was in a good church and I had a good pastor, and his name was John Osteen. And I'll forever be grateful.
Amen.
For the years that I spent there and the spirit I picked up there. The positive spirit I picked up there, that can-do spirit, that God loved me and for me, not against me. There's hope for everybody. I mean, I heard it every time I went in the doors, and you know, every time I heard a message, it was always up, it was always encouraging, it always blessed me. It was a time in my life, of course, I was lost and I gotten saved, and I started going there just a few months after that, and it just changed. It set the course of my life. It set the course of my ministry, as it were, the ministry God put on my life. Thank God for churches like Lakewood Church and people like John Osteen, now Joel Osteen, that's making such an impact around the world. We need to acknowledge those that have a part in our lives. Amen?
Amen?
Probably not a sermon I ever preach I don't mention Brother Osteen or quote him in some way or some form fashion. But I honor him, and I am a product of a lot of people, and so are you. Amen? A, acknowledge others and accept our need of others in our lives. Well, you're thinking about them, you're honoring them, and you're confessing and acknowledging them. We need never forget where we came from and need never forget who is behind us. I think of when we got the reward, remember for the Citizen of the Year award we got, our church got it, actually for Hallelujah Night. Y'all remember that? And, you know, we got on the front page and, you know, the mayor was there and the sheriff was there and the city was there, and it was a nice time. But the thing that came to me was that it was a reward to our whole town because no one person made that happen. And really, the truth be known, even right now, Hallelujah Night, as much as we put into it, it's more than just us that run it when the time comes. And if we all had enough people to run it and nobody showed up, where would we be? So the idea that the whole town bought into it, the idea that people caught that vision, that started bringing their kids to a Christian event that time of year and started walking around hearing about Jesus and seeing Jesus on every booth and hearing music about Jesus, puppet stage on how to be saved. See, that the whole town bought into that. Are you with me? A lot of people bought into it, and we need to acknowledge that. And that's the thing that I said. I remember on that, you know, this was an award to our whole town, really. I didn't feel like it was just an award to us. Thank God we started the ball rolling. I mean, David did kill Goliath, but the armies of Israel came off the hill and wiped out the Philistines. Somebody had to slay that giant, sure. Somebody had to cut his head off. Somebody had to stand up and be counted. But then that ball got to rolling and it got to growing, and there was a lot of people involved. Amen? Hallelujah. So it's acknowledging others, other people in our lives. In need, we are reminded of our need of others, and we never forget that. I need you. Oh, come on. I can't do this on my own. There are no lone rangers in this thing. One of the tactics of the enemy is to separate the weak, separate the young, to separate. All predators, whether they're lions or tigers or whether they're wolves or coyotes, they target the weak, they target the stragglers, they try to separate them from the herd. Now, if they can separate you from the herd, then you lose your strength. You lose your ability to defend yourself. And the devil tries to do that in the world. Keep us out of church. Keep us out of fellowship. Keep us, when we're down, keep us from calling anybody to help us. Are you with me? I mean, what's the tendency when you're down? Turn the lights out. Lock the doors. Put on the blues music. Start singing, "Nobody knows the trouble I see." We want to enjoy this depression. We don't want to come out of it. Are you out there? But thankfulness causes you to realize your need for others. That's okay. I mean, that's fine. Hey, there's stuff in me that you don't have. There's stuff in you I don't have. I'm uniquely gifted, but I am deficient by design. God made nobody Superman or Superwoman except Jesus. But God gifted you uniquely. There is nobody like you. Problem is, you just don't have all the gifts. Amen. You don't have everything. You got something. And as sure as you need the church needs you. As sure as you need each other, each person out there needs you. I mean, it's just the way it's made. We need to understand that. Sign of maturity, amen? Interdependence. We recognize our need. K, we recognize the kindness of others. K for kindness, I love that. Because you thank people for kindness. You thank them for good things they do. You thank them not for, you know, burning your house down, but for helping you when your house was burnt down, for showing up, for being there, for doing something kind. I like that, man. What if you just lived your life thinking of today? How many people blessed you? How many people have helped you? And start calling people up. And you know, you often hear these wonderful stories, touching stories about people that call up an old teacher, you know, that meant something to them in their life when they're years ago, and they're still thinking about it, still thanking that person for it. It's such a touching thing. Acts of kindness that people have committed toward us, you know, and have reached out toward us. So that's what it, T-H-A-N-K-S, thanks, and that would be service of others to us. We're really born to serve each other. That's the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, and the second greatest likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. When you're thanking people, not to be confused with thinking if you're from East Texas, because think and thank sound pretty much the same in East Texas, but anyway. But when you're thinking on thanking people, not thanking on thanking them, but you're thinking of service. You're thinking of what people have done to help you and bless you. That's a good thing, amen? And so, you know, as much as I get recognition, I get a lot more recognition around here than anybody does because I'm the pastor and I'm up front. But goodness gracious, I'd be nothing without you. And thank you. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your prayers and your faith and your finances. Thank you for staying in here and hanging in here year in and year out when we're picking high cotton, low cotton, and no cotton. Thanks for showing up with a bag and just keep picking. That's what we do. We hang in here. Amen. We need each other. And I tell you, we're a force to be reckoned with in the kingdom of God. And that's a good thing. Okay, you found Psalm 16? I mean, Acts 16. I keep saying Psalms. Acts 16. I love this because this is where Paul and Silas are put in prison. And of course, the tendency is nobody knows the trouble I've seen, you know, to sing that song and to start thinking of the negative. Maybe you're going through a tough time. I don't know. Maybe things are just not going your way. I've had that happen. I've had those bad days that just seem like nothing goes right. I've had bad days when tragedy and loss happens, and that happens in life too. But, you know, there's never a day you don't have reason to thank God. There's never a day you don't have reason to give God glory for something. Not for the bad, not for the tragedy, not for the pain, but for his goodness and for his strength and for his help and for his hope and for your salvation. Woo! Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you saved? Man, goodness, that alone is good enough. But here, Paul and Silas, they're just obeying God. They have just done what God said to do. They went to Macedonia because they heard this in a vision. They heard a man say, come help us. Come help us. I love that. There's Paul and Silas. They tried to get into Asia, the Bible says, and they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. They essayed to go, or they tried to go into Phrygia, another region, and they were checked or stopped by the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes the Holy Ghost will stop you. We're always looking for the green light where he wants us to go, but we're not listening or paying attention to the red lights. Sometimes he's trying to help us. He doesn't want us to go that way. We're trying to push in an area he doesn't want us to be. Many times tragedy results from that because we didn't listen to those checks and those stops and that lack of peace that left us and didn't feel right about this. And are you with me? That'd be a stop. Hey, we don't want to go there. Are you with me? So Paul's praying, and here he is in ministry now, praying to go minister and preach. But see, God stopped him. He stopped him. We tried to go into Asia, and we were stopped, forbidden of the Holy Ghost, is what King James said. And then we tried to go in Phrygia, and we were checked. We were checked by the Holy Ghost. But then in the middle of the night, we had a dream of a man in Macedonia saying, come and help us. I love that. Because really, that ministry, that's what ministry is about. It's just about helping people. You know, it's a compassion. Jesus many times was moved with compassion on the people, a cry for help, suffering, sighing, dying humanity, wanting help. And so they realized they should go to Macedonia. They wind up in Philippi. you know, that's the Philippian jailer, the story here. And they preached there and had miracles there and great things happened, but people got a little upset with them, people that made idols, and because they were losing business because people were getting saved. It'd be like Charles Finney in the early years of this country. He'd go around and preach in towns and the saloons would close down. Probably wasn't real popular with the bar owners, you know. They were losing business. People were getting saved, you know. So they got upset, these idol makers, and they threw them in jail. In fact, it says here in verse 16:23, "And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison and charged the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison." Not just any prison, but the inner prison, down the depths of the prison. "And made their feet fast in stocks." So you could imagine they weren't just thrown in prison, and they weren't just chained up, but they were in stocks. Their feet were in stocks. I mean, this is a very uncomfortable position to be in. And all they'd been doing is just preaching the gospel. Why me? Why? You know, that should be the cry of us. That's what we probably cry out. But it says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. Can you say amen, somebody? What were they praising him? Were they praising him for the stocks? Nah. They were praising him for, you know, for using them. They're praising for saving them. They're praising him for giving the opportunity to preach. Hallelujah. And if anything, they would praise him for the opportunity to share this and say, you know, we got through this one, hallelujah. God got us through this one. But they were thanking him for his goodness and for his mercy and for his love. They were thanking him for all that he'd done for them. Even in prison, with their feet in stocks and things going wrong, there still was a whole lot more good going on than there was bad. And God was still had done a whole lot more good for them than what the devil had done bad for them. And they sang so loud, this is what's so good. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. So they weren't just humming. Hello. They were actually singing loud enough for everybody else to hear them. So they weren't having a Presbyterian service. God bless the Presbyterians. We're not against Presbyterians. But it was probably more like an international outreach church service. Are you with me? Well, they were just a little loud, and they were a little praising God, and they were getting a little excited about it, and you know, and they kept praising God and thanking God. Probably got a little louder and a little louder, and then, oh my goodness, it says, "And suddenly," I love these suddenlies in the Bible. "And suddenly there was a great earthquake," not just any kind of earthquake. "Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." Now that's a supernatural earthquake. Are you with me? Nobody dies. Nobody's killed. In fact, everybody's chains just fall off. Wow. And all the doors just pop open. Woohoo. Don Murphy, I know you've heard this. Don Murphy is a, I witnessed Don for years, a good friend of mine. Pastor's my hometown. You've heard him. He's preached here. Him and Cherry. Cherry and I went to school together in Center, Texas. And Don, he was a tough nut to crack. But I witnessed to him for years, and he finally did get saved, called me on the phone, got saved on the phone. I think he might have been saved before. He just didn't really know he needed to confess to someone and pray with somebody. You know. But anyway, I prayed with him on the phone January the 1st, 1980, and now he pastors in my hometown. A lot of my relatives have gone to that church since then. Wonderful thing. Amen. But anyway, he preached a sermon one time. It just blew me away. I thought it was so good. He preached a sermon called "Too Hot to Handle." And he said, you know how you put a pan on a fire, a pot on a fire, if it has a metal handle, and you can hold that handle for a while until it just heats up. Finally, it gets so hot, you got to let go. You know, kind of like the frog in a boiling water deal. You know, you just can't, you got to let go. He said, praise is like that. Praise, he said, the devil sometimes gets you. He thinks he's got you. He got you wrapped up, you know. In this case, he had him in prison. But at midnight, they begin to praise God, and things started heating up. And the devil was holding on long as he could, but they just kept praising, they got louder, and they got louder, and the prisoner heard him. And finally, they got too hot to handle, and he had to let go, and all the doors burst open, all the chains fell off. Hallelujah. If you will learn the power of praise in your life, Maybe the devil got it, sucker punched you. Maybe he grabbed a hold of you. Now, I believe we've got power over the devil, but I'm not always paying attention. How about you? I know I can overcome the devil. I know I got power over the devil. But I also know when I praise him, I praise God, not the devil. When I praise God and I worship God and I give God glory, I'll tell you what, I get too hot to handle. I have felt depression just fall off me. I have felt it, pain just leave me in the midst of praise, in the midst of worship. Fear and doubt and unbelief just take off and run because I got too hot to handle. I just kept praising God and I kept thanking God and I kept worshiping God and I kept giving him glory for all of his goodness and all of his mercy, thanking him that I'm saved, that I'm healed, that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, that I got a future and a hope and a destiny and my children are serving God and I've got heaven as my home. Hallelujah. I got every reason to rejoice. As you know, I heard Renee said this, Renee Mize now, who's married Terry Mize, said this one time, I think at a ladies' meeting here, she said, she was in Corpus, and it was like 100 degrees, and it was just burning up, and it was hot, and she said she got a revelation. She was just miserable. She got a revelation. She said, you know, this is as hot as it's ever going to get for me. And she said, I thought about just throwing a party, call all my friends, and say, hey, come on over. This is my thank God I'm not going to hell party. We always have something to thank God for. You and I are not going to hell. You and I are going to heaven. Amen. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know the pain you're going through. I don't know if it's financial, mental, marital, physical. I don't know. But I know God's got an answer. I know he can pull you through that, and he will if you'll believe him and trust him. But if you begin to praise him, the pain will leave. The doubt will leave. The worry and the anxiety that you're putting on yourself uselessly will leave you. All worry and doubt and all that is just interest you pay on a debt you don't owe. Why are you doing that for? Why don't you start praising God for his goodness and start praising for his mercy? Well, you know the story here. They were all set free. They got too hot to handle. Everyone's bands were loose, 27th verse, and the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors were open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself because under Roman law, he was responsible if anybody escaped. It was his life. And he drew his sword out to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm. We are all here. We're still here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Boy, the tables turned, hadn't they? And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved and your house. I love that verse. I've stood on it all my life as a Christian. I've stood on that for my children. I've stood on that for my grandchildren. I believe it means something that I got saved and Brenna got saved. I believe it means something that we serve God and we believe God and we trust God and we live holy and we live right. I believe it pays to do that. I believe it pays dividends. I believe because of that, my children have a witness and they have an example and they have a hope. And I believe that God has made a way for not just me, but for my whole household to be saved. And I claim that for every one of my children, everybody they hook up with. Everybody they hook up with, they will serve the Lord. My children will serve the Lord. And all everybody they hook up with, and all my grandchildren will serve the Lord. God has not just made a way for me to be saved. He's made a way for me and my whole household to be saved. Hallelujah. Glory. I believed a lot of things in my life and stood on a lot of scriptures, but I believe that one and stood on that one more than any other scripture that I can even imagine. I've prayed that over my kids. When it didn't look like it was going to happen. Are you with me? I prayed it over people they hooked up with, but didn't matter. Prayed it over my grandchildren, still praying over my grandchildren. I will pray that scripture and believe that scripture and stand on that scripture to the day I go on to be with Jesus in glory. And even after I go on, if Jesus tarries, me believing that scripture and standing and praying on that scripture will still have effect long after I'm gone. Amen? Because the word's not bound. I believe a lot of you are here today because grandmama prayed and grandfather prayed. I believe a lot of you are serving God. Maybe they didn't even see it happen, but their prayers are still in effect. Their faith's still working. Hallelujah. They're still in God's word. This thing's bigger than just your life and my life. It goes on generation after generation. Amen. And the life I live today is going to affect the next generation and the next generation of Jesus tarries. Everything you do for Jesus is eternal. Every prayer you pray and believe and stand on is going to have eternal effect. Get a hold of this thing. It's bigger than you. Amen. Well, they shared that with him, 32nd verse. They spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Wow. They cleaned Paul and Silas up because they'd been striped, you know. And then Paul turned around and baptized them. That's such an awesome story. I just love that. Oh, while we're on the subject, turn to Jonah. I don't know if you're ready for this. Are you ready for this? Turn to Jonah, second chapter. You know the story. In Jonah, the second chapter. Let me turn there. I have my my iPhone 6 Plus here, it's almost like a mini iPad. It's almost that big. I got two Bibles up here right now. I'm rolling. What page is it on? Yeah, that's the problem. I don't know what page it's on because it's just. And Jonah, you know the story. Jonah rebelled against God. God wanted him to go tell Nineveh to repent. Now, Jonah knew God better than we do. He knew that God would not destroy Nineveh. He knew that Nineveh would repent and God wouldn't destroy him, and then he'd look like a fool. Prophesied destruction, and destruction didn't come. He was more concerned about his reputation than he was these people that he was ministering to. Read the story. Are you with me? Pretty plain. But in the midst of all that, he tried to run from God, tried to get away from God. Now, I don't know how in the world you think you're going to get away from God. I don't understand that. Now, where are you going to run? Where are you going to hide? You can't run from thunder. And you sure can't run from the one that causes it to thunder. But he got on his ship, and this storm came in, and you know, and the story he told the captain and all the crew. He said, "Look, I'm the reason this storm is. You throw me over into the ocean. I don't know what he was thinking. Throw me into the sea, and everything will be fine. It'll calm down." Well, they didn't want to do that. They waited the last minute, and they finally did throw him over. And when he did, he was swallowed by a great fish. It didn't say a whale; it just says a great fish. Might have been a whale, might not have been, but it was a big fish. You say, you believe that story? Yeah, I believe it's in the Bible. I believe that. I believe if God said Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe it if that's what God said. Are you with me? We actually know that it is possible for a man to survive inside of a big fish. We've actually had that happen for a day or two, you know. They've actually had that happen. But anyway, he was swallowed by this great fish, and then after 3 days in the fish, this blows me away. This story just is amazing to me. It wasn't the first night. It wasn't at midnight. It took him 3 days to repent after laying around in those gastric juices. And terrible, isn't it? But anyway, he decided he'd pray. Wow, got this great idea. You ever been there where, you know, you got a mess in your life, and after about 3 or 4 days, you go, maybe we ought to pray about this. Instead of the first thing, it's the last thing. Well, he did. He prayed. And it says here in the ninth verse, "But I will sacrifice." Everybody say sacrifice. Sacrifice. I love this. "I will sacrifice unto thee the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. I'll do what you say. Salvation is of the Lord." But his sacrifice in the midst of this trial or trouble or pain or tragedy, and sometimes it is sacrifice, his sacrifice was praise. You know what Hebrews 13:15 says? It says, "By him, therefore, we will offer up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Did you know that's all we have to offer? We don't slay lambs, bulls, and goats. No, Jesus, the Lamb of God, took away the sin of the world. When he died for our sins, he sat down on the right hand of God forever, making good our eternal redemption. So what do we bring before him? Our sacrifices are thanksgiving, words. And sometimes it is a sacrifice, isn't it? It takes something for us to start thanking God in the middle of a trial. Not for the trial, because I don't believe God's behind that trial. I think he's behind the answer and the hope. In fact, one way to get to our victory or get to our deliverance or get those prison doors open or to be regurgitated by the whale. Could have used another word, but anyway. If you want to get out of this whale of a problem you've got, if you want to get out of this jail of a problem you've got, maybe you ought to quit thinking about the problem and start thinking about God. Maybe you ought to stop talking to God about how big this mountain is and start talking to that mountain about how big your God is. Maybe you ought to stop complaining and start praising, start worshiping, and thanking God for every good thing he's done for you. He's healed you. He saved you. He's blessed you. Praise God. He's bigger than this. He's greater than this. This will pass. Hallelujah. But I will come out of this in the name of Jesus. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. I'm not going to die in this valley. I'll come out of this valley. Then the prison doors open. Then the whale throws you up on dry land. You get too hot to handle. Things begin to heat up inside of that fish. Praise and worship started coming up. Praise and worship started giving that fish indigestion. I mean, I could just imagine that fish going, "Ooh, what is that? Oh, I don't feel so good. Ooh. Whatever's in me, I got to get out of me." Are you with me? And Jonah was set free. It happened to Jesus. I'm sure in the midst of hell, Jesus worshiped and praised, and after 3 days, just too much. He got too hot to handle. After 3 days, the Holy Ghost said, "That's enough." That's exactly what the Bible says. After 3 days, he conquered hell, death, and the grave and came out victorious. He got too hot to handle. The devil thought he had him, thought he killed him, thought he wiped him out, thought he buried him, but all he did was plant him, and what you plant comes back up. In the midst of that, he praised. In the midst of that, he worshiped. In the midst of that, he honored God. And I'll tell you, praise will just make you too hot to handle. Praise and thanksgiving, it's really the price you pay, if there's any price at all to pay. It's a price of worship. It's a price of thanksgiving. And this time of year, we ought to be thanking God. Amen? It's how we enter his gates. Psalms 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. It's where his presence comes. Because he says, in his presence is fullness of joy. But praise puts us in his presence. Praise and thanksgiving gets us in his presence. So you got victory. You got the presence of God. You got deliverance that comes. A lot of reasons to thank God. Amen? And there's an outcome to it. There's a consequence of it. There's a sowing and reaping. If you sow in joy, if you sow in praise, you know, you'll reap victory. Hallelujah. Victory will come to you. It's just God's will for your life. So quit being so grumpy and gripey. I don't know what dwarf you are, but grumpy shouldn't be the one you are.
That's right.
Are you out there? I don't know what you're going through, but you're going through.
That's right.
Amen? I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know God's bigger than what's going on in your life. And if you and I would just take this time of year to just remind ourselves that this is an attitude we as Christians hold all day long, all year long. This is an attitude we hold on to. We don't let this go. We are a thankful people. We are a grateful people. When I think of my life and I think of this church and I think of my family and I think of my grandchildren, I think of where I am. I am a grateful man. I'm a thankful man. I'm thankful for everything. I think of this country, even with all the issues that are going on in this country. I am thankful for this country. I'm thankful that I live in the United States of America. I've been in different countries around the world. I've preached in third world countries and civilized countries. And I'll tell you what. Thank God for this nation. Thank God for this country. And I think of this church. Thank God for International Outreach Church. You know, I long to get here. I can't wait to get here. This is not a job for me. In fact, it's the highlight of my life. It's the highlight of my week when I show up here and get to minister to you. And that you'd even show up and come and hear me. Thank you. Especially after years. Some of you have been coming 30-something years. I mean, we've been here 32 years. There's people in here now that's been with us that long. And you just keep coming. I'm grateful. Thank you for that. You didn't have to, but you do. You laugh at my jokes, although I've told them hundreds of times. I appreciate it. I thank God for you. We need each other. Amen. And this time of year, first of all, of course, thank God. Thank God for his goodness, his mercy. Thank God for our country. Thank God for each other.